Well, good morning, everyone.
And
a very, very warm welcome to you this morning. It's a lovely morning indeed, isn't it? And if you're visiting with us this morning, I don't know, I only know of one who's visiting this morning. There's tea and coffee afterwards through in the wee hall behind me here. So the intimations this morning, yes, well, I've already said that one. There's tea and coffee behind us after the service. Church's Homeless Action North Ayrshire. There's a meeting to be held this Friday, the 29th of June, in the Kirkgate Hall in Saltcoats for 11 a.m. And anyone able to volunteer at our new lunch club starting in September. If you're able to do that, you can call that mobile number there that's on the screen. Our Dear Chance to Thrive, a walk together. Come and join us on the 4th of July at midday. A first ever walk together. Improve your well-being and fitness. Meet with the new and familiar friendly faces, and all ages and abilities are welcome. And the wee writing at the bottom reminds me of going to the opticians. So if you can make all that out on Wednesday, the 4th of July, then please join them. And it's going to be lovely because we're getting a heat wave, so you'll be fine. That the intimations for this morning. That's good. Let us hear the word of God in our call to worship this morning then. And it comes from Psalm 8, and it's verses 3 to 5. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honour. Amen. And we're going to, I'm just going to put this down a wee bit. Let us worship the Lord and sing King of Kings, Majesty. And I think I'm going to lead you on that this morning. Oh, of course, yes. Okay, just a minute till I put a tick on this. We haven't brought the word of God in. As we are gathered, Jesus is here. Sorry, Andrew, you would have been through there for a long time this morning, I think. Ah, these things that happen to us, isn't it? We're going to stand and sing King of Kings. Would you stand with me?
Sauce, deliver me, dear. Amen.
Let's join our hearts and minds together in prayer. Shall we just pray? Loving Lord God, it's good for us to come into your presence this morning. At this time of midsummer in this midday light, may we glimpse a moment of the divine. May we see the dawn of your light that shines in this world, in our lives. In this day of new beginnings, new life, stay close to us now, that in this hour we may know of your love and care for us. In this place, Father, we offer up our imperfect worship and prayer. But open for us the understanding of all of this, all the wonder, all the awesomeness of your creation, the purpose of life itself. May we glimpse that powerful, mysterious hand that molded creation and it breathes life into all living things. Abba, Father, bless all who gather in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave up his life that we might be free of sin and have eternal life with you in heaven. Gracious God, as the sunlight warms the earth, may your love melt our hearts of stone, hearts that are darkened by our failings. We pray once more for your forgiveness, for all we've done and said that was not good over the last week, even this last few hours. So hear us now as we see the prayer that Jesus taught us when we say, Our Father, whose art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from Jeremiah 31 to 34.
The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more.
Amen. May God bless this reading from his word. Well, last week, is this thing working okay? Can you hear me okay with this? Yeah. Last week we were in sin and repentance, weren't we? We were delving into that area of the curse because of the people of Judah and all their idolatry. Well, this week we're going to have a wee bit more blessing. We're going to look at what's in our heart and in our minds today. And while I was preparing for that, I have a wee devotional book here. It's called People of the Way. And sometimes it's nice, you know, just to take a verse from the Bible and to meditate on it. That just means to think about it, to think about it deeply, to think about it, what it means for our life. And, you know, it's fine to read the Bible. Sometimes we read it like a book and it doesn't really go in. But if we take one particular verse and we concentrate on that, so there's no harm sometimes in getting a wee book that you can read that's out with the Scripture, but it is still based in Scripture. And the one that I had chosen to read to you today, just as a way in to what we're going to be looking at in the sermon this morning, is called Sacrificial. And it comes from Hebrews 10 and 12, and it's this: But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. We're going to look a wee bit more about that later on, but the meditation goes something like this. Cenotaph, empty tomb. See it lying there, still, silent, enveloping the broken dreams, broken bodies, broken lives of an entire generation. A stark contrast to the euphoria of the flag-waving crowd that sent them to end all wars. Lifetimes before, another tomb lies empty, another victim of a violent death. But here, the death and violence is the beginning, not the end, filled not with despair but hope, breaking the grip of humanity's violence, showing a glimpse of perfection tempered by the darkness of reality, the making of all things new that will exist when violence is no more. Today, let us, amidst terror, kindle the flame of hope that Christ shows us a new way within. And the morning prayer that comes with that is, in the shards of the morning light, may we glimpse a moment of the divine. May we see in the dawn your light that shines in the world. May we live out your kingdom and find your way within. And we'll look a bit more about that later on. And just before we sing our next song and the kids go, can we just pray a blessing over them? It's coming up to that time of year for the school holidays. Yeah, you're getting all ready for that, mums and dads, grannies, grandpas. A great time for the kids. I'm not so sure about the adults. Let's just pray over our children today. Father in heaven, we thank you for the youngsters amongst us. We thank you for their heart, Lord. Lord, as we talk today about changes, about radical things, Father, we look to our youngsters because their radical ways of life change within 24 hours, and we all know that. But they're a blessing, Lord. They're a blessing in the way that they're learning. They're a blessing in the way that they can be noisy at times. They can fill the house at times. And Father, as we come through this summertime coming, I pray for our youngsters this morning that you'll protect them over all these light nights and all the places they're going to go, especially if they go away from home and they go on holiday. Will you protect the families, Lord? Will you give them traveling mercies that they might come back to us refreshed and revitalized? So, Father, as they go to the learning in the summer clubs and their study clubs, we pray for those that look after our children too, that nurture them. And we pray that even in ourselves, Lord, we have something positive to give to the next generation in the teaching, in how we act out our lives in the name of Christ. So bless them greatly, Lord, and bless this church, and bless all our churches that have young people sitting in them this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, I think our hymn for the month, if I've got it right, is 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song. Singing when the
when my strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the
just want to go now, that's fine. Well done, we're getting that song off now, aren't we? There's always one wee bit before that last chorus that catches us out, isn't there? Always catches me, but it's good. You're all becoming sopranos after singing that, because it's a way up here in the roofs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said and nothing that doesn't need to be said. And I pray that I will be very, very clear and that this will bring great honor and glory to your name. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're back at the baseline again this week. We were in the basics last week about redemption, about sin, and about repentance. So we're back this week. We're looking at Jeremiah. And last week, if you were here, we were all about the curse of sin and the need for repentance. Today we live in the blessing and the gift from God in his promise of things to come. I know that it's midsummer. It's one of my favourite times of the year, especially when the sun shines. There's nowhere else but Scotland that looks absolutely lovely when the sun shines and there's no midges during the day. But the other favourite time of the year, and forgive me for this, is Christmas. We're only halfway through the year and I'm mentioning Christmas already. But when I was a wee boy in the dark nights of winter, they were always tempered by the thoughts of Christmas and that great feeling of Christmas Eve. The anticipation of presents the next morning that was so exciting. I know, pretty selfish, I know. Well, sleep would evade us for ages, but eventually my younger sister and I would nod off into a restless sleep, while the presents were somehow mysteriously placed by our bedside in a pillow slip. We lived on a farm then, and it was pitch dark. There was no light pollution. You couldn't see the hand in front of your face. It was so dark. Well, sometime long before daybreak, we would stir, and I'd stretch out a hand into the darkness by the bedside and feel to see if our prezzies were there. And sure enough, there was something there in the darkness, and my little hand would gently feel all the presents to see if I could make out what they were. And we'd grow more and more excited by the moment. It wouldn't be until a glimpse of dawn light that we'd venture up to the fireside and be delighted in our bounty. Our God in heaven has placed a present, not just beside you, but in the passage read for us this morning, God has placed a present in our hearts. and in our minds. In Jeremiah 31, verse 33, "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts." A present that most times we cannot see because of the darkness in our lives. God speaks through Jeremiah that after the times of trouble, after the exile to Babylon is over, he will restore his people. He will restore his people, Israel. And they will prosper, and he promised them a new covenant to replace the old one given to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David, and all the others. But Scripture tells us that Jesus, the light of life, shines in that darkness. And it's he that will unlock the understanding of what God the Father has bestowed within us for his purpose for our lives. In John 1, verse 5, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." By the touch of the Holy Spirit given to humanity at Pentecost, we are able to understand what that present written on our minds and our hearts is. And we should be delighted, excited, and full of joy for the coming day. What a glorious and gracious act. That part of the heart of the Father is in us, in you and me. God has written on our minds and our hearts. He has given us a key, a start, and should we choose to embrace it, we will receive amazing, everlasting life to come, and a new life and a beginning in this one, a new attitude of grace, a new heart of compassion and love, a new heart of flesh instead of stone. This is the present that's in all of us before our very conception. Ezekiel, a young prophet, was carried into exile in Babylon, wrote in chapter 36, verse 26 of his book, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." God is speaking to Israel and Judah here and to all the nations to come. This was a time when the little nation of Judah was a vassal state to Babylon, paying taxes to them. But eventually, due to non-payment by King Hezekiah, Nebuchadnezzar came in 597 BC with an army, and he destroyed the temple and much of Jerusalem and exiled the people to Babylon. And last week we heard that Jeremiah puts it like this, as did most of the prophets actually, "Because of the nation's idolatry and disobedience to God's laws and decrees, the curse of God came upon them, and they experienced his wrath for their apostasy." So what's in this law that gets everyone in such a tither about? The Mosaic law given to Moses. The law Moses found, and we can find it in the Old Testament of Exodus, Deuteronomy. It was instruction given specifically to God's people Israel. It was made up of three parts. The first we know only too well, don't we? The Ten Commandments. Then there came the ordinances and the worship instructions, all about the priesthood, the tabernacle that would eventually become the temple, and offerings, including sin offerings. There was instructions about the festivals to keep, and the best that we know of is the Passover, the one that Jesus and his disciples were there celebrating in Jerusalem when he was betrayed by Judas. There really wasn't anything wrong with the law of God. The law was and is good. Some of the decrees might seem a bit irrelevant and strange to us today, but the Mosaic law had its pluses. It helped the people to get to know God's character, his heart for them. The people of Israel would know that they were set apart and special to God. And the law would convict. It still would convict us of sin, but it also allowed for atonement. It provided a way to worship, and it points towards God at all times and that purpose he has for his children, for you and me. But there's one instruction actually that caught my eye when I was reading through Deuteronomy. There's a whole pile of them. And it was Deuteronomy 22, verse 8. If you build a new house, and this is because I'm in the building industry. If you build a new house, make a parapet around your roof so that you may not bring guilt of bloodshed on your house if someone falls from the roof. The earliest building regulations under the health and safety authorities started 3,500 years ago. They're not new. But God so loves you and me, and he loves his people in Jeremiah's day. He is described in the prose and poetry of Jeremiah's book like a faithful husband with a wayward and adulterous wife. He was always going to make a way for her to return and to forgive her for her iniquities. And we discovered that last week in Jeremiah 3 for those who were here. He makes a way through sin for us as well. In verse 33, God promises his people that he's going to make a new covenant. He's looking forward to the coming of Jesus the Messiah. And we know that we can't live up to that holy law. Nor could the ancients, who no doubt tried because of sin in the world. Sin in our hearts. That's why we must accept Christ as our personal Savior. In the contemporary English version, I like to jump in and out of different versions of the Bibles, it says in Romans 3:20, God doesn't accept people simply because they obey the law. No, indeed. All the law does is to point out our sin. The law that once was written on tablets of stone on the outside would now be placed on the inside. And no longer would people need to teach about God, because we would know of him instinctively through the Holy Spirit and through our conscience about what's good and right to do in this world and what's not so good and right. But you know, that's not to say that we don't need to read the Word of God in the Bible or to be taught what it means. By having the law within us and available to us, we are given the free will to discover it for ourselves as a key. But to unlock it, we need the help of God's Holy Spirit. Because the law is a spiritual law. It's not written on paper. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, and here I use the Amplified version of the Bible. He has qualified us, making us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant of salvation through Christ. Not of the letter of a written code, but of the Spirit. For the letter of the law kills by revealing sin and demanding obedience. But the Spirit gives life. Before Jesus came, the community brought a sin offering and sacrifices, burnt offerings of various kinds. And these were administered on behalf of the people by a priest or a high priest who would go into the Holy of Holies in the temple and make atonement for the people. But Jesus' once and for all sacrifice on the cross has done away with all of that. He was and is the one time, once and for all sacrifice, atoning for our sins. The Lamb of God who takes away our sins. Our gateway to the new covenant with God is open to all who recognize, you know, that this world is a fallen place. That sin is in the world and sin lives in everyone. In all. By coming on bended knee and confessing our sins, repenting, we call it, and asking Jesus as our Savior and Lord to come into our heart by his Spirit, we are renewed, we are regenerate. The words used are often ridiculed, but we become born again. Born of a new spirit in Christ, not in the flesh, in the Spirit. Born again, a new life. The writer of the book called Hebrews in the New Testament more or less quotes Jeremiah 31 word for word, but he goes on to confirm that the blood of bulls and goats could not atone for sin. They were just a temporary fix. But Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was the once and for all work of grace of our Father in heaven. And we are released from all these blood offerings and the need for a priest to intercede for us. Only Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, could achieve that. In John 1, verse 29, John the Baptist is baptizing in the River Jordan, and he sees Jesus coming towards him. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." God's calling you and me. Otherwise, there would have been no need to place his impression upon us, no need to make us in his image, nor to place that love in our hearts. The key to discovering the spiritual written word on our heart is the Lord Jesus Christ, who God sent as the light to show us the way in the darkness back to him. Why? Why? Well, you all have heard the most quoted verse of the Bible, John 3 and 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." However, Jesus tells us that he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. If I use the contemporary English version of the Bible, in Matthew 5 and 17, "Don't suppose I came to do away with the law and the prophets. I did not come to do away with them, but to give them their full meaning. I know that some of the instructions, you know, given to the ancients are pretty archaic, and really they're not very relevant in our culture today. But the main tenets of the covenant remained unchanged from the old to the new. When asked about the law and which commandment was the greatest, Jesus agreed with the teacher of the law. In Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40, and I'm back in the NIV. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments." We don't need to know the other 600 or so laws and decrees that are in the Bible, because everything in life can be measured against these two major truths. What happens when Jesus comes into your heart then? We become less hostile to the Word of God in the Bible. I mean, Christians should have a hunger for Scripture. That first love can be great, you know, can be almost intoxicating for some. But for others, there seems no discernible change to begin with. Just the fulfillment dawns as you go through life. You see, for many, there's a great big hole in here. There's something missing. Humanity is seeking after something to fulfill that yearning and to know a purpose for life, to know a better way, something to fill that hole. And we are by nature spiritual people, are we not? We're always seeking something. But Jesus sacrificed on the cross at Calvary achieved the most amazing thing for humanity. Jesus took upon himself the blame for all the sins of humankind. Then, now, and for those still to come. He gathered them together at the cross and he took them unto death. He died for us, and his victorious resurrection on the third day and his ascension into heaven. Jesus now sits at the right hand of God the Father, speaking up for us, interceding for us when we fail. Speaking up for you and me daily, every day, 24/7, always. The cross at Calvary was more than just a historical, biblical, spiritual event. For Christians, the cross is a place of healing, a place where the burdens can be laid to rest, a place where the total, unconditional forgiveness and love is given, a place where when we approach it in the dark, the light shines bright to restore us, to change us, to heal us, and to bring us peace. And all that God has placed in our hearts and minds begins to make sense. Last week, we were looking at the way that God's people in Judah and Israel had suffered the consequences of sin. And yet, within all that calamity and despair, Jeremiah's prophecy gave hope. He encouraged the people that God would restore them. He would not remain angry with them forever. With such knowledge of a gracious, loving Father in our minds and in our hearts of flesh and compassion, we are enabled to follow Jesus, and we become a witness then to others. We are like a letter from Jesus, Paul tells us. In the contemporary English version, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3 says this: "You are like a letter written by Christ and delivered by us, but you're not written with pen and ink or on tablets made of stone. You are written in our hearts by the Spirit of the living God." I ask you today, do you want to unlock that invitation that God has placed in you before you were born? Do you want to unlock that written word of life that God has placed in there? And could it be that if you haven't done so already, you can let Jesus into your life today? He'll heal, and he'll bring you joy, and he'll bring a new heart, filling that emptiness. And now might be just the time for you. Today in your quiet time alone, or tonight in your room. If you feel that restless stirring in the gut, and it compels you to answer, then Abba Father is calling. Jesus is waiting. Soften your heart, and that flame will be kindled within you. And for those who need to reaffirm that faith and ask God to rekindle that flame of the first love, that first love you had when you discovered the delightful law of life written on your minds and hearts. Well, you remember last week we sung Kindle the Flame. And we can do that now in a prayerful way and use it as a prayer. And we'll sing a song that I taught you last week. Broken I stand, mercy I need. Stretch out your hand, O Spirit, lead. Fill my heart with the love of God and my mind with all good things. Beacon burning, turn my darkness into light. And once again, I would say, we just remain seated for it. And we'll sing it prayerfully. And I think we sing it through a couple of times, don't we? Broken I stand.
And my mind with all good things. Beacon burning, turn my darkness into light. Kindle the flame, kindle the flame. Fire of Christ burn in my heart. Make me new again. Kindle the flame. Kindle the flame. Let your love and your grace cover me.
The offering will now be received. In our prayers for others this morning, things to be joyful for, I thought we could think about Path of Renewal, not so much as individual churches. We've been doing that for a number of weeks now, but actually to pray for the overall umbrella of Path of Renewal, for its vision, for the way that it comes to churches and it comes to ministers. Sometimes things that are started as a great idea can get a bit unwieldy, and it's just keeping it all together. And I pray that that vision is in our ministers and their mentors' minds when they're taking it through, and that some fruitful stuff is going to come from that. I think it is bearing fruit, but keep it in your prayers. And another thing that we usually pray for is individual churches, and that's all to the good, and you can do that. But how about praying for the 22 churches in our presbytery as a whole, and thinking about that over the summer holidays when people are going from all the different churches and ministers are going off places to be refreshed as well. We'll let them away for a few weeks, and all that happens over that period, let's pray for all the churches in our presbytery of Ardrossan. And for Crossreach today on the 24th of June, they ask us to pray for Heart for Art, which uses creativity to support and encourage those living with dementia and their families. 10 groups are running across Scotland, connecting people and communities and providing therapeutic art sessions. It's lovely to do these things for dementia. There's other groups I know of in the area that are set up to do music with dementia, because that brings the person back. It brings a wee glimpse of the person who sadly has going into themselves. So bear people up in your prayers who have dementia this week. There's a lot of turmoil going on in Africa at this particular time. I heard Mozambique had an uprising. We have someone out there, and they had to escape to South Africa, but there's still some 250 Christians in that camp who need to be taken out and of the danger zone. In Zimbabwe, someone tried to kill the president with a bomb. And apparently there's been some explosions in Addis Ababa. So let's bear that continent in our prayers. It's a beautiful, beautiful continent, beautiful countries. Our friends from Malawi got home safely. We had a message on Wednesday, I think it was, to say they were all back home. They went with two big, enormous suitcases, filled to the brim. So I'm so grateful. But you know, folks, that's a drop in the ocean when they get it back. But let's remember these things in our prayers for others this morning. And of course, we'll have a time to pray ourselves for those we hold dearest in our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bring our prayers for others to you this morning, we remember all the churches in our presbytery. As we come to this time of holidays and this time where ministers are seeking refreshment and revitalization in a holiday, it seems to have been a long year. Father, will you bless them? You bless them as they go off now and see them safely return to us, ready to go again. Now we pray for all the people in our churches too, all our brothers and sisters who go on holiday. Will you grant them traveling mercies and a joy of going on holiday? And for those who are staying at home, Lord, I pray that you grant them peace and joy as well as we enjoy this lovely warm spell of weather that's coming around. We remember this morning the path of renewal, and we pray, Lord, for that idea, that principle, that concept that's been put into place. Father, will you continue to show vision through Path of Renewal, especially into as it filters down into things like discipleship groups and the like. And for all the ministers and mentors who are in there, Lord, will you keep them going, that they become accountable to each other through the whole process. And we thank you for Crossreach. We thank you for the work that they do. There's so many things to pray for, but what a wonderful thing to be able to pray for people who give of their time and who give to those with dementia and with other difficulties of the mind. So we raise them up in prayer before you this morning. But Lord, we also know of the troubled spots in our world, and we think of the African continent just now. And for all these lovely people there, Father, especially for our Malawi friends who, thankfully to you, Father, got home safely with all the things that we sent them with. And Father, it was a humbling experience to see them go with their two suitcases when we know that we have two and three of everything. Lord, bless them, resource them. Mainly they need resources for water. But in our hearts today, Lord, as we sit in your presence, we pray for those who are ill, those who are in hospital, those who are suffering in one way or another. And we bring them before you now in this time of silent prayer. Heavenly Father, you hear the prayers of your people. And we know that you're a God who answers prayers in your time and by your will. Loving Lord God, we thank you for new life. We thank you for all the blessings you give us over the course of all our lives. Even we forget to return that love and blessing. But for us this morning, Father God, we give back a token of that blessing to the church. And we pray for those who administer this offering, that they do so honoring you and bringing glory to your name. And we pray all these prayers, the silent prayers of our hearts, and those spoken in Jesus' precious name. Love divine, all love excelling. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us go in the strength of God, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us now and always. Let there be love shared among us.